Hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We have been studying this week Revelation chapter 20, looking at this powerful 1,000-year reign of Christ, which we looked at in great detail. And if you haven't tuned into Abounding Grace, you can go to our website and hear the previous broadcast this week where we dealt with what happened at the ascension of Christ when the Lord was seated and all thrones and dominions and principalities were put under his feet. And at that time, the devil, as was said in Matthew chapter 12, was bound in the sense that he could not frustrate anymore the gospel going out to the ends of the earth. He could not hold all those nations, as he did throughout the previous periods in history, in darkness. Now the Lord, with his exaltation and session on the throne, since he had overcome by his own blood, now he was drawing all men to himself. And as he said in John 12, now the ruler of this world will be cast down. He will be cast out. And if the Lord is raised and seated, then all men he will draw to himself, all kinds, all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations. And that is what has happened. Jesus said at the resurrection before he ascended into heaven, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And we see that program of redemption and gospel preaching to all the nations unfold at the beginning chapters of Acts, as by the end of Acts, it has reached into Rome and will then go to the ends of the earth. The gospel is prevailing. Jesus Christ's great reign from heaven is drawing in people from all nations. And what a glorious reign it is. Satan can't frustrate it. And as we looked at yesterday, it is precisely in the fact that the church is persecuted and is a persecuted church that she remains strong. That's been the great mystery of this present age, that in the midst of all of her affliction, she is only strengthened because, as Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Well, today we take up the second part of that, and we're looking at now John giving this and seeing this vision in heaven. So the first part of Revelation 20 shows us Christ's reign of what's happening on the earth, but Revelation 20 verse 4 then picks up and shows that Christ's reign actually is occurring from heaven. And I saw thrones, this is verse 4, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Well, here John turns, and he sees the vision now in heaven. And he says, you need to understand that Christ's reign occurs from heaven. He's seated. And there is also great blessings and power because of this heavenly ascension. So this is what he sees. I saw thrones. And they that souls and thrones, and judgment was committed to them. Notice the emphasis here on souls, not bodies. What does John see? He sees all of those who have died in the Lord. And he uses the language of martyrdom to describe those who've lived in this tribulation that John describes as right from the beginning of the book, in the present tribulation, in the present distress, who've died. Remember, death is the last enemy. This is the martyred church that has already gone to be with him. And notice what it says in Revelation 20. These are those who in their life did not worship the beast or receive his mark on their foreheads. Now, I know we've been scared about this kind of stuff. We've been programmed. I remember those movies, those dreadful movies in the 80s where people received computer chips and all these sort of things. We've been programmed to think of the mark of the beast in these sort of terms, computer chips or hand stamps or whatever. John is simply describing all of those who in their lives were not united with the devil to do his will. Remember, Jesus said that about the Pharisees. You do the will of your father, the devil. They had taken his mark. If you think about Romans 6, the beauty of the Christian life is that the Christian has died to a whole way of life that was slavery to unrighteousness, slavery to sin, slavery ultimately to the devil. And the change has been that he has become united to Christ and raised a new creature. He becomes the desire of our life to love and to serve and to worship him. And no one is sort of in this neutral state. All of those who are not conveyed out of the kingdom of darkness into the light are those who are referenced in the Bible as doing the will of the devil. Unbelievers and Jesus and those in darkness are across the board in the Bible characterized as those who worship the beast and take his image. They look like him, just as Christ's sheep are being conformed into Jesus's image. So too, the unbelievers are taken the image of the devil, who's their father, as Jesus said. That means that they are directly under the authority and power of the prince of the power of the air who works in the sons of disobedience. So we're getting an idea of what this mark is in Revelation, this mark on the forehead or this image of the beast. The Bible characterizes two marks. Those who belong to the Lord have the Lord's mark on their foreheads. You can even go back to something like Ezekiel 9 and find this. Go through the city. This is Ezekiel 9:4. Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within it. And in Ezekiel 9:11, just then the man clothed with linen who had the inkhorn at his side reported back and said, I have done so as you have commanded. God marks his people on the forehead. He has bought them with the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 14 speaks of these people who belong to the Lord having his father's name written on their foreheads. Well, in like fashion, all of those who reject the Lord are also described as those who have been marked as belonging to Satan and have taken his image. You see, it's no game to reject the Lord Jesus. So here's what John sees. All of those who've died in the Lord during this period between the ascension and the return of Jesus, those who have not followed in the ways of death, but have been transformed and conveyed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, all of those who have died are in soul right now, consciously alive and reigning with Jesus. That's what John sees. That's what he sees when he looks up in this vision. And we read that he looked and what did he see? I saw thrones and souls and they sat on them, on these thrones. We are told here this whole picture that even in Revelation that those who have died in the Lord ask, how much longer, Lord? And the Lord says, just a little while longer until the rest of your brethren come in. They're there. John says, I see them. Any of your Christian loved ones who've died in the Lord are with him. They're there. And the point that John is making is they're given thrones. They're reigning with Jesus. That's the whole point. He has been seated, Ephesians 1. And those who have died, blessed are those, Revelation 14, who die in the Lord from now on. They're with him. It's 1 Corinthians 6 that tells us, don't you know the saints are going to judge the world? They're sharing in that judgment, in that throne. And those who do not believe, we read, do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. What it's saying, they don't go to be with Christ. They go into punishment and wait the final judgment on the last day. So what we have described here for believers is the first resurrection. The first resurrection where in soul they go to be with the Lord. That's the comfort of all this. That because Jesus is reigning, that when we die in faith and when we die believing, our souls are taken right to be with Him. We are ushered into eternity. We are ushered right into the presence of Christ. And we reign with Him until He comes again to judge the living and the dead. And at the time He comes, well, that will be the second resurrection, which will be the resurrection of our bodies. And then comes this beautiful statement in Revelation 20. He says, over such the second death has no power. Put it together. The first death is physical. The second is eternal punishment. For those who die in the Lord, the second death has no power because Christ is there. He's the mediator. He died and rose again and was ascended and mediates on our behalf. We are His as Christians. That's the heavenly perspective of what is happening because of Christ's ascension and seating on the throne. His reign is heavenly, my friends. We're not looking for a future earthly reign. That's why the temple was torn down. That's why the veil was written to. And Paul says, Jesus went and ascended in the Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all. He's reigning in the heavenly Jerusalem. There's a whole city above us, the heavenly Jerusalem, which the earthly city patterned. But now it's heavenly. And we who die in the Lord go to be with Him, and we reign with Him. It says in Revelation 20, we are reigning as priests of our God and of Christ for this 1,000 years. It's a glorious reign. All authority in heaven and on earth has been granted to this Jesus who is triumphant over death and the grave, and He has paid for sin, and He sits exalted and seated in heaven. So then, as we wait, what a perspective. If we're still here, yes, we're part of the persecuted church, but we have a job to do. We are witnesses to the ends of the earth. We are salt and light. We're not just living to make it through. We are here for a purpose. Christ is reigning, and it is precisely as a persecuted church that our light has to shine the brightest. Are you a witness to Christ? Have you come to believe in Christ? Because there's another truth to this. Those who don't, we read in the second part of Revelation 20, will be judged. They will be judged and be consigned into hell. That is a terrible message. But there's the way of escape in Jesus. Come to Him. He is reigning as King, and He delights to receive those into His kingdom, into glory, who trust and believe upon Him for eternal life. No one who comes to Him, Jesus says, He promises, no one who comes to Him will indeed be cast out. Always glad to tune in, and we bring these broadcasts to you so that you would be encouraged, but also strengthened in your faith, and that you would find a home where the gospel is preached, a church home. 360-318-0429 is the phone number. LyndonURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.